I want you to turn again to the Psalms. We haven't got too far from the Psalms this evening. It's the Psalm numbered 73. The Psalm numbered 73. I'm going to read some verses from the Psalm very quickly, and then I want just to comment. Psalm 73, it's a Psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Little phrases like that, you know, suggest to us that the psalmist was prompted by the Lord to open up the blessing beyond Israel. It's not just that God is good to Israel. He goes on, even to such as are of a clean heart. And I'm sure there was something of a view of the Gentiles who one day would come, and the likes of us here tonight, reading this psalm, and reading it so that we could stand into it. It wouldn't just be for Israel, but we would see that this blessing extends to us as well. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The first verse is in the present tense. He's speaking of the Lord and rejoicing in him and his goodness and kindness. And then in the verse 2 he begins to remember and recall things that happened recently to him. And he wants to share them with us, doubtless that we might learn. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, or no restrictions, no struggle, it seemed, in their death. This is what he observed. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. They're talking against God, you see. Oh, pride, sin, rebelliousness, it's always manifested in an opposing of God. And their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, to puzzle this all out, it was too painful for me. Until, always notice the punctuation in God's word. At the end of verse 16, there's no full stop, so you don't stop. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And we'll finish our reading there, knowing the Lord in mercy will bless it to our hearts. I want to speak tonight upon that verse 17, where is set before us the viewpoint from which we should look out upon the activities of man. For only from the viewpoint that is here described in the verse 17 will you get a right view of what is taking place amongst men in this world. Now, as I said, in the psalm, the psalmist learns a very valuable lesson, and he records the lesson he learned so that you and I can learn from it. That's the whole purpose, you know, of the record that's given us in the Scriptures. These things are recorded that we might learn. That we might learn. Learn from Abraham. Learn from Isaac and Jacob. From Elijah. All the great men and women in the Bible. Learn from them and their experiences. Learn from their mistakes. As well as learning from their wise decisions. And here, this is recorded, that we might learn. That we might learn. We don't like writing down and publicizing the mistakes we made, the wrong conclusions we draw. We don't like telling others about it. But here, the psalmist does tell of his foolishness. And as I say, he does it in order that you, each one of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, might learn. Learn not to make the same mistake. Avoid the errors that the psalmist committed. He tells us that there was a time in his life when he fell into temptations. And he fell into these temptations and errors as a result of his assessment of the prosperity that the wicked seem to enjoy and the afflictions that the righteous passed through. He observed this. He began to think upon it. And he drew certain conclusions regarding it. But they were wrong conclusions. And his conclusions are recorded for us in order that we might avoid them. Let me just ask you to cast your eye very quickly over the verses 2 to 12. I'll not read them all again, but he says, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He looked around him, he looked at the wicked, and to his eye, they were enjoying prosperity. Whereas, for the righteous, further down, the psalm, the verse 13, "But in contrast to the prosperity of the wicked, I have cleansed my heart in vain. What good has it done me to seek to walk uprightly?" Now these were false conclusions, harmful conclusions for him to draw. And I want us to learn, first of all this evening, what wrong conclusions we may draw, we may come to, from our own observations of man. And their activities. If you gauge what is going on around you by these eyes, and by this mind, you're going to make mistakes, terrible mistakes. This psalmist, Asaph, he looks around him, and as a result of the conclusions that he was led to by his own human wisdom, he was in danger of falling. He says in the verse 2, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." His thinking on what he saw taking place amongst men was so wrong, he began to stumble. He began to slip and to slide. You see, he began to charge God in the most foolish fashion. As I said, verse 12. And verse 13, "The wicked prosper, but the righteous have wasted their time. It is something that they have found no profit in when they obeyed God." Now that's laying a solemn charge against God. And that's why this man's feet were slipping. That's why he almost fell. Because as he looked around him, he began to evaluate things according to his own thinking. And by what he saw, and the conclusions he drew, and it caused them to stumble. Well, men and women, it is a dangerous thing. And I say to you young people in particular, I would like to think that as the years go by, we begin to realize the folly of coming to conclusions and drawing conclusions on the basis of our own thinking. Though it's no guarantee that we don't act foolishly at times and act as does the psalmist. But particularly you young folk, you need to learn that you are not to draw conclusions by what it is your eye sees or observes in the actions of others around you. Because things may not be as they seem. The psalmist here was actually on the verge of saying that it's profitable to sin. He talked about the prosperity of the wicked. Wickedness and prosperity go together, he was saying. That's a false conclusion. Oh, there are occasions when that seems to be the case. That seems to be the case. But actually, it's the result of taking a very limited view of the matter. A very limited view of the matter. This is why he says, my feet were slipping. I nearly fell. Because I looked around me. I looked at the wicked. I looked at the righteous. And what I observed caused me to jump to conclusions that were very wrong indeed. Very wrong indeed. Such thinking, you know, as this will bring confusion to our hearts. Wretchedness into our lives. Look at the verse 21. We didn't read that far. But, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He's now reflecting on the state into which his heart, his soul, was brought by this process of looking at things through his own eyes. He was brought to a state of wretchedness, confusion. What good is there in serving God? And drawing conclusions of that nature, he sinned against God. He offended God. He says, I became like a beast before thee. Brutish, ignorant. Oh, the animal can bite the hand that feeds it. It can trample on the one who is there to care for it. We have on occasions heard, I'm sure, in the news of a man trampled to death by a bull. He was there looking after the welfare of the animal. But it was just a beast. He didn't understand that. And somewhere in its brain there arose the decision that it would attack the man and trample him and kill him. And the psalmist is saying, I was just like a beast. Looking out on the world, drawing conclusions from what I saw, I acted just like a beast. And I sinned against the Lord. I sinned against the Lord. You see, I repeat that we can draw very wrong conclusions when we look out on what is happening around us and judge it all and gauge it all and measure it all by our own mental powers. But in the psalm, the psalmist tells us that he rapidly abandoned the notions he had formed when he came to a certain place, for he saw things very differently. And there is but one place, men and women, where we can see things as they really are, and thus avoid the temptations into which the psalmist fell, and avoid the harm that he brought upon himself. Verse 17. It has to be joined to verse 16 just to get the sequence. When I thought to know this, how it was the wicked prospered, apparently, and the righteous, well, nothing seemed to go well for them, apparently. When I sought to know this, understand this, grasp this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You see, there is only one place where you can get a right view of what is happening in the world. Only one place where you will get a correct view of what is taking place amongst men. You listen to the news, you'll be deceived. You'll get all sorts of reports of how well this is going, how well that is going. Did you see there's quite a problem has arisen within Tesco? It's the biggest store of its kind in the United Kingdom. It's head and shoulders above all the other supermarkets. But four of its top executives were dumped because recently, when they estimated what the profits would be for the company in, I suppose, in the incoming year. They overestimated it by £250 million. When we heard it, we were saying, it doesn't pay you to back gay pride and all the rest of it. Bless God, they have found out to their cost just what embracing error will bring, though I'm sure very few of them will recognise it. But the point is this, if you had listened to this forecast, you might have been, if you were a big business person, you might have been inclined, and I'm sure there were many who did just this, I must buy some shares in Tesco. They're doing so well, and they're going to make 250, well, more than that, 250 million. They overestimated by that, so there was even more money to be made. And people put their money into Tesco, thinking they would make money as a result. Then they discovered the forecast was entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. No, you and I can't rely on earthly, human sources of information if we're going to evaluate what really is happening in this world. It is in the sanctuary that the psalmist said, then I understood things. Then I got the right view of what was happening. Verse 17, then I went into the sanctuary of God, and understood I their end. I then understood about the wicked. And I'm sure he would have included, I understood too about the righteous. It's only in the light of God's presence, men and women, that we understand anything. You and I, before the light of the gospel shone upon us, were blind and ignorant. We knew nothing. We knew nothing. And when we're praying for those who are not saved, don't ever forget that they are as you were. I never like prayers that are critical of the sinner, that says, how can they not see? How can they not understand? Why don't they? Well, why didn't you before you were saved? Why did you wait so long before you were saved? Because we were blind and didn't understand anything. And it's only when the light of God comes upon us that we understand anything. And for you and I to rightly evaluate what's happening in the world, we have got to get into God's presence. We have got to get where that light shines. Remember what Psalm 119 and the verse 130 says? Of course you do. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Light and understanding. That's what comes when you get into God's presence. That's why the people of God who walk with God are called the wise. The wise. Those in heaven are all wise. Made wise unto salvation by the grace of God. And one day, the Savior tells us in the book of Daniel, the wise shall shine as the stars. What made them wise? What made them to differ from others? The light of God shone into their hearts. They understood. They understood. And that's what the psalmist here is saying. I got it all wrong, he said. When I measured things by my eyes, by my mind, by my knowledge, by my understanding, I got it all wrong. And it was only when I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. Then I understood. You see, in the sanctuary of God, and let me tell the young ones here tonight, in the sanctuary of God, that is that place where God is pleased to dwell, where God is pleased to manifest himself, to show himself through the preaching of the word. In other words, I believe that this place is a sanctuary of God. And listen to what it says about the sanctuary of God. Psalm 68, the verse 24. 68 and the verse 24. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God and my King in the sanctuary. That's why you and I, men and women and young people, when we come on any occasion into this house, Sabbath day, prayer meeting, whatever, we should come looking for the goings of God. The movings of God. God moving amongst us. That's what we should look for. God save us from coming to meetings and looking at our watch and saying, I'll be out in an hour and 20 minutes or whatever, instead of coming in and sitting down and looking for the goings of God. Looking for the goings of God. This place is to be reverenced. It is to be reverenced. Because here, God is to be found. It's in the light of God's presence then that we understand anything. In that sanctuary, He will reveal and teach and let light shine into our hearts. It's in God's presence that sin and righteousness take on their true appearance. We'll never understand what sin is, you know, how dreadful sin is, except in the light of God's presence. In this generation, and this is not something new, it's happened in former times, but there is a loss of a sense of what sin is. Because the light of God is not shining amongst us in 2014 as perhaps it shone in former times. And because the light is not as bright as it were, we can't see things as distinctly. And we don't see sin for what it really is. Our nation is full of sin. Full of sin to the degree that I know if our grandfathers, our grandmothers were able to visit with us and hear what's going on, they would be utterly shocked. And that's too tame a phrase to use. They would be scandalized. They would be blushing with shame. They couldn't listen to our news that we listen to. They couldn't read our newspapers that we read. They would be so ashamed. They couldn't believe that this could be printed or that could be broadcast. Because there's a loss, even among God's people, of sensitivity towards sin. We don't see it as it should be seen. Why? Because the light is not as bright. Modern science has enabled policemen investigating crime to use various methods to uncover evidence. There are lamps and lights that they can use and shine on areas where they feel that clues may be found. And the light from these special lamps will show up that which the naked eye just can't see. Stains and marks that the ordinary eye just can't see. But this light shows it up, makes it sit out. Oh, what an illustration. I tell you, when God's light shines, suddenly we see things as they are. We're horrified. Horrified at the sight of sin. When God's light shines, the psalmist, he begins to understand the true nature of wickedness. And he understands the true nature of righteousness. These things in the light of God take on their proper appearance. Their proper appearance. He says, then understood I their end. Then understood I where it was all going to end. I'd never thought of that. I'd left out the eternal aspect. My thinking didn't include that. I only saw what was happening now, as it were. The wicked seemed to be getting rich and prospering and things going well, and the righteous, they were afflicted and troubled. And I didn't think of, but how will it all end? How will it all end? And when this was drawn to my attention by the Lord, and I realized that I had made a very wrong calculation. I had assessed things very improperly. Oh, men and women, to live and dwell in the light of God's presence is something greatly to be desired. The psalmist said in Psalm 84 in the verse 10, one of the reasons why we sang part of that psalm, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, he had the right view. He wasn't seeing the wicked prospering and doing well, and things seemed wonderful for them. No! He said, I wouldn't dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, the world would think that's a very foolish conclusion to draw. But you see, the psalmist here in Psalm 84, he's got the light of heaven shining upon the affairs of man. And in the light of heaven he sees there's no profit in being a dweller in the tents of wickedness. One other thing I'll say very quickly. It's a privilege, the privilege, of the believer to dwell in God's presence. Not to merely come and go, but to be in residence in God's presence. I hope I can find a little passage that many, many years ago was made very precious to me. The old memory is not what it was. John chapter 14, the verse 21. You young people, please, not only look it up, but think upon it and place these words in your heart. Verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, in other words, another man called Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? That's a good question. Now, how could it be the Lord would show himself to you, and the world not see it? The world not see him? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. I think those are the most astounding words. What a thing the Lord is saying. Dear Christian, it's our privilege to have the opportunity to dwell continually in God's presence. Not to just have good days, followed by many bad days, and maybe then another good day of blessing, but dwelling in the presence of God. Dwelling in the presence of God. Something to be desired above all things. Psalm 27, we sang this. Verse 4, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What's the chief desire of your life? Young people, all of us, what's the chief desire of your life? The psalmist's was that he might dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord. It is there that we will dwell in peace. For Isaiah 26 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's no disturbance in God's presence. There's no storm. There's no upset. There's nothing that threatens you when you're in the Lord's presence. It's like the vessel out there on the sea. When the Lord got in, everything became calm. And in the Lord's presence, there is eternal calm. God, bring us to that place. Bring us to that place. It's there we're kept in the spirit of joyfulness. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Young person, you can taste heaven before you ever go there. You can know what heaven will be like before you ever go there by dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Our little congregation has come through some upsets of late. But to understand is to get into the presence of the Lord. And we will see that he ruleth amongst men. And that his will and his purpose will be wrought out, no matter what. As the psalmist said, Then understood I therein. I knew how it was all going to work out then. And my burden was lifted, my distress ceased. I was no more worried or anxious. God was in control. May the Lord draw us into his presence and enable us to dwell there. Don't let anything rob you. Don't let anything rob you of the Lord's presence. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.